This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I think my name is Richard Bradbury, and I think I'm also joined in the studio by...
I think Arvind Yuvraj.
And I believe Christine Wong. Yeah.
Mm. We're still here. We're going to be with you until the end of the show, which will be around 1 o'clock. If you want to get in touch, you can get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we of course are available at BFM Radio. Interesting topic, slightly controversial perhaps. The question is, what do you think is the most redundant department in an organisation, and why? Do let us know. As usual, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, at BFM Radio. I think we already have some responses, which we'll get to shortly. Why are we talking about this today, Arv?
So there's this guy who owns a $1 billion company, and he did away with his HR department.
Mm.
Oh, and then what are we talking about?
And then we'll be talking about, speaking of HR and humans and human connection, how to check in with your teammates without feeling invasive.
We'll then be wrapping up about how you can make virtual meetings fairer to those introvert people. Kind of a little bit like us.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
A little bit. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's get cracking then. What do you think is the most redundant department in an organization, Arvind?
According to Greg Jackson,
who's
the founder and CEO of Octopus Energy, which is a UK startup. He calls it a startup, but then he says it's valued at £1.4 billion or $2 billion. So
pretty,
I don't know.
Pretty good for a startup.
Pretty good for a startup. And they sell green energy basically. And despite now having more than 1,200 employees, Greg says that he has no interest in traditional things like human resources and information technology. So he lumped both of them together, HR and IT departments, both of which he doesn't have in his company. He says that there is a tendency for large companies to infantilize their employees and drown creative people in process and bureaucracy. HR and IT departments don't make employees happier or productive in his experience. And just a bit of background on Octopus Energy. It was set up in 2015, specializing in green energy for households. It enjoyed huge growth, and yeah, by the sum of it, huge growth, taking on a big six traditional energy firms, and now supplies more than 1.9 million homes in the UK and is expanding into other countries with its energy managing software. And with all that, he says that his distaste for command and control, top-down management structures is born from experience, and running smaller companies of around five people, he would learn to cover HR and IT issues himself. And he says, like, that's the way forward. People should be able to take on these problems and take on these issues by themselves instead of depending on, like, a third party. Which is exactly what this article in the BBC asks. They say, like, if there's a case of bullying to be resolved or, like, a contract dispute that requires specialist knowledge, he still says that he expects his managers to take personal responsibility for these things with appropriate training instead of shelving responsibility to a third party, just as he used to do when managing his teams. And he thinks that this approach allows companies to scale faster as well as making employees more self-reliant.
Very interesting. And what's the kind of feedback been around, been generally about his approach to doing this?
He doesn't say. But I mean, looking at the money that he's made, it looks successful. I mean, you don't get to £1.2 billion valuation by not doing something right, right?
Well, so, okay, let's imagine you are working for his company and you have an IT issue. Mm. So he's suggesting that you resolve it yourself somehow.
Either you or your managers need to know how to resolve it themselves. So he says that IT is something like... So there is a quote here where he says that IT is something that everyone in the company should know.
Right.
You know, because of how much we work with technology, you don't need like a separate body looking after your IT problems. I don't know how to feel about that, though. I mean, I understand what he means. Like, if there's something wrong with, like, Windows or the programs that we use here, I would be able to fix it to a certain extent. But if there's a server problem, or let's say the studio goes down, I'm not going to mess with the studio, you know, for our programming.
Yeah, I think in terms of the IT department, if your company uses, like, specialized equipment and stuff like that, then I think you should have an IT department.
Yeah.
But I do find it interesting that, you know, at least everyone at that company, at this company that this guy has, should be able to troubleshoot most of their own tech problems. Because I do feel that sometimes there are some people who don't know how to troubleshoot any tech problem at all. And for the people that do know, they're always asking, like, you know, how do you, fix the Wi-Fi? And the answer is always like, I don't know, turn it off and on again. But yeah. You know what I mean? Like, to go through that logical process and to be able to have that ability and that skill to be able to troubleshoot that, I do kind of agree with.
Carry on. Sorry.
But getting rid of the whole IT department if you use specialized or like specific equipment, no.
I think what I'm kind of understanding is from both of what you are saying, right? Mm-hmm. I think amongst us here in the office, the majority of IT problems we can fix, right? The only things that I think we have problems for, like you say, is if there's a server issue, then one of the managers, quote unquote, will call somebody to come and fix that. And if there's an issue with the printer, one of the managers, again, quote unquote, will bring in somebody who specializes in printers, people who manufacture it. So in that sense, we don't have an IT department either to manage our IT stuff, right?
But we have technical people.
But we're all technical people, and we all kind of cover each other's backs to a certain degree within what we do. If you have issues with the way in which we transfer files, arguably, is an IT issue. Between ourselves, we can resolve that issue, right? If you don't know how to print to a certain printer, one of us here will be able to figure out how to do that. So in many ways, our IT department is very similar to this, I would argue.
So I think I'm coming at, from an angle of, yes, true, but I feel
yes,
good.
Yes, true, but Richard, you're wrong.
But I feel good knowing that we have a specialist in the office. You know what I mean? So someone to, if you know, they're like complex problems or stuff that you cannot fix, I just like knowing that there's someone there who knows how to fix it.
Yeah, but I think what he is saying is that, you know, to a degree, there would be like four or five of these people, right, who are... And out of those four or five people, perhaps four of them are redundant, and you don't necessarily need all four or five of them because one of those people could do it, and the other four or five people could be retrained to do something else.
Something more, okay.
Yeah.
What about the HR angle there, though? I mean, do you guys agree?
I was slowly getting around to like throwing that at Arvin and just see how he dealt with that.
Do you, guys? Do you agree?
No, so that one I completely disagree, honestly, because I feel like I know people have their sort of like views on HR and stuff, and we're going to get to some responses, but I think a lot of people don't understand what HR does, and if you dig into the work they do, the workflow and stuff about how the company runs, you very few instances, like maybe this guy's company.
You are tiptoeing around this topic, aren't you?
Yeah, no, because I think you need, like, especially do with contracts, especially revenue, with pay, with salary. I don't think you leave that to like the employees or the managers to manage. I think that is like a specialist thing that you need a HR department to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
And who we've got to listen to about this? Who are we talking to?
We're talking to Helen Langhammer. So she'll be talking about, you know, how to restructure and what if companies want to try to figure out if they have redundant departments.
Okay. So we'll be listening to Helen when we come back. We have her on the phone lines, of course. If you want to take part in this conversation, what do you think is the most redundant department in an organization? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Small break with some music. It's the Small Faces with Tin Soldier here on BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I am in the studio with...
Arvind Yavraj.
And Christine Wong.
Today, we're asking a question, and that question is, what do you think is the most redundant department in an organization, and why? Do let us know. 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Get us on Instagram at BFM Radio. This is because the CEO of a billion-pound company says he dissolved the company's HR department entirely, sparking a conversation about the structure of work in the future. But things may not be as straightforward as they seem. We've had some feedback. Let's get to that. Of what have you got on Twitter?
So over on Twitter, just one from CK. No such thing as redundant department unless that company prints money. I doubt any bosses are willing to pay salary to anyone for no work done.
Instagram, Chris, what have you got?
Yep, so we've got Joyce C. Tico, who says transformation. Tigress versus Leo, who says administration and reception. Kelvin Ng 333, who says admin and accounts as their tasks are getting more and more automated day by day.
Ooh. Hmm. Okay, I've got a few over here on WhatsApp. Keishan says HR. What do they do really, he says. Raz has says the most redundant department is the corporate comms department. You can easily outsource that function. Number ending 7231 says corporate affairs and risk. And finally, we have another one here from number ending 6268. HR. There you go. Oh, no, there's a couple more. IT, just learn enough for your own use. HR, spread out the responsibility amongst the senior management. Thus, you don't require the two departments. 34 years ago, we learned enough for our own use and to shoulder the burden amongst senior management. But after 10 years, the two department was born and still believe that we could live without the two departments. So there you go. More on that in a little while. More coming up. Of course, we are here from our expert of the day.
Yeah, so we got in touch with Helen Langhammer, who's the director of Aspire Consulting, and we have her on the line now. So Helen, what are your general thoughts on the article and how this billion-dollar company doesn't have a HR department?
I think the title of the article is actually a little bit misleading, you know, because the guy says that he doesn't have an HR department or an IT department. But a swift look through LinkedIn will show you that he has roles such as HR business partner, learning and development officer, talent acquisition, and so forth. So he does have an HR department. I think what he meant in the article was something that I do agree with, that he wants his managers to actually manage people, because too often HR department is seen as the repository for all the problems. Any sign of trouble and the issue ends up with HR. So I think what he's aiming for is for HR to provide expertise so that managers can manage. And that's a good thing. HR should really be a strategic function in any organisation, not just dealing with routine issues like payroll and discipline, but really working hand in hand with other functions to design the organisation of the future.
And do you think there are redundant departments that organisations can do without, though? And what would they? What would those be and why?
Yeah, in short, there should be a regular review of what business goals are and does the current structure actually meet those goals. External influencing factors change, so companies need to be swift, not just in responding to these, but anticipating them and moving with the needs of the market. For example, one of our clients is a huge logistics company, and they're spending a lot of time at the moment looking at how automation will impact on the type of work they have to offer. And they're looking at how best to redeploy the affected staff. Now, this activity involves all the functions in the organisation, but it certainly needs HR.
Okay, so is there a process that organisations can follow if they're looking to restructure and get rid of or consolidate different departments, and how?
It's difficult to generalise, but technology plays a big role. Examining how technology is going to impact on the output of a particular function and understanding what can be automated will help in understanding the future shape of a company. It's not that automation will necessarily mean staff shrinkage, but it may mean redeployment of the staff to other functions. Attending to people in any restructure is vital. So many companies say, oh, people are our greatest asset, and then they fail to treat them like the valuable resource they are. Our experience of companies who restructure is that those who pay attention to the people succeed. At Aspire, we run a leadership transition program which focuses on the makeup of new teams. We spend time working out what the team's key drivers are, understanding individual team members, developing a climate that's appropriate to business needs, and understanding what develops trust between team members. This time spent at the inception of a new team or when a team has been restructured prevents all the shadow boxing between a team and their leader, which can impede the team's progress.
Mm-hmm. Helen, how has working from home impacted company structure, if at all?
It's hard to say if working from home has altered company structure at this stage. There will certainly be roles that will change in their reach. For example, that of facilities manager is not going to be a job with as great a reach as now if half your workforce is working from home and facilities are actually shrinking. What we have noticed, though, is how teams operate together. That has changed. There's a lot less politicking. Teams are a lot more specific in how they communicate with one another. Agendas are sent and adhered to. And punctuality is something that has really changed. We've noticed that, for example, when we run training courses face-to-face, sometimes people will come back from a tea break after 20 minutes, sometimes after 30 minutes. But when you run an online training program, people tend to be a lot more punctual.
Final question, Helen. What new departments do you see showing up in the near future, and why?
I think most of the new roles will be based around technology. I mean, we're seeing a lot more CTO roles now than previously, which would have been head of IT. And that's a much more strategic function because it's really looking at the future of the organisation and how technology is going to improve its workings. Similarly, digital business partner is another role that I see increasing. A bit like an HR business partner who provides the HR expertise to a manager, a digital business partner would provide the technological expertise to a business manager. Now, that means that they also need to have a good working knowledge of the function that they're working with, how it operates, and how it interacts with other functions.
Yeah, thanks, Helen. That was Helen Langhammer, Director of Aspire Consulting. So a couple of things she said that I want to bring up. So first, she mentioned that if you look through LinkedIn, Octopus Energy does have roles for HR people. So it doesn't have a HR department, but they hire specific people to do HR things. Mm. So in a way, I think I don't know if it's a marketing thing or whatever it is.
Clickbaity title, maybe.
Yeah, but also it's not dissolving the role completely. Mm. It's just saying that you don't have a designated block in the office space for that. Mm-hmm. But second thing I wanted to ask you guys, like Helen mentioned automation a bunch of times. And then in the article itself, there's mention here and there of evolving the department, right? So what do you think about a HR department or human resources that is completely automated or online? Meaning that it's a system that caters to all your payroll issues, your salary issues, your, you know, every issue to do with the company, but there's no human in human resources.
So I think when it comes to the administrative part of what human resources, a human resources department does, I don't disagree with automation at all. I think that it would be very straightforward and it would probably speed things up and be very organized. However, I don't think that that automation can answer everything that human resources do. Because one of the examples as well in the article is, you know, if you have an issue like with a manager or your team, like a personal issue or, you know, something where, you know, you're just not getting along, communication issues, whatever. Automation can't answer that yet, as far as I know, right? So I think that maybe, you know, instead of like saying HR could be automated, I guess HR processes could be automated. But I do think that in order to support those personal issues, you do need a person to be
a human
around.
Mm. I mean, previously that person would be your line manager, and then that line manager would take their issue to the upper manager. Mm. You know, so really, HR department, you know, or people department, or whatever you want to call it, is a fairly new, from what I understand, kind of concept. Anyway, I mean, I could be completely wrong, but that's how I've always seen it. You know, whenever I've had a job, it's always been, particularly amongst the small HR departments, tend to be in companies that are larger, right? Smaller companies, it's like your line manager; they deal with your immediate issues. That then goes on to the you know, the CEO or the MD or whatever.
Yeah, but I think that it's important to have multiple channels that you can like solve these sorts of problems through. And especially, you know, let's say you can't go to your line manager for whatever reason, then, you know, you're stuck, right? Mm. So that, for me, is where the human function of human resources would lie.
And what if your issue is with your line manager?
Exactly.
So in a way, it's not about dissolving anything. It's about evolving departments to cater to new needs.
Okay, with that in mind, I got a message here from Zaidi, who says, Hi, BFM. Zaidi here. Sometimes in a big cash-rich company, there's an executive chairman and a deputy executive chairman position. In a big holding company, there is a managing director position, and for the subsidiary, there's even a CEO and a COO position. What a waste of resources. All this work can be done by the executive chairman alone. Just because the company is cash rich, the firm just decides to splash money around.
Ooh.
Good points. Mm. Time for us to take a short break. If you want to send us a message, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're available at BFM Radio. We're going to come back with an update from Bursa at break, and then we'll have story number two here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.